Let's not show the scripture just, well, you can leave it. Let's show the title, first of all. Call it the cloud, the cloud. And we'll be coming from Hebrews 12, just 1 and 2, two verses. But we're going to stay on verse 1 for a little bit. So let's go ahead and just read verse 1. And then I'll unpack it a little bit, but we want to just read it and just absorb it right now. So in Hebrews, first of all, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. We think it's Paul. Could be Apollos, could be one other. But it's not confirmed who wrote it. It seems to have a lot of Paul's style, if you want to call it that. But then he gets to verse 12, which is near the end of Hebrews. But before 12 comes chapter 11, I said verse 12, I meant chapter 12, comes chapter 11, and he mentions a whole list of people who have gone through what you're going through. Trials, tribulations, hardships, persecutions, things that hinder you. And he spoke of Moses, of Enoch, of Abraham, of Isaac, and a bunch of others. And he listed them as what we would call the Hall of Fame of Faith. And these were faithful men. But the fact is, they haven't received the promise, it said. And so now he's talking about the promise. So let's read the scripture. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now let's hold here for a little bit. Let's hold here. We want to unpack this. So whenever Paul says wherefore or therefore, you have to go back and look and see what he was talking about previously. And I already told you, he's talking about what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Enoch, and Elijah, and a bunch of others, and Joseph. And the fact is, they've gone through their troubles and tribulations, and that's where we are. We have to go through our own struggles. We don't always know the answer. In fact, when Job went through his trials and tribulations, do you think he knew why? He did not. God never told him. I'm sad for Job because he didn't get to know why he had to suffer so much. But now God did talk to him at the end. He talked to him and he encouraged him and he even commended him and asked him to pray for his friends who his friends were sure he did something bad. Folks, just because something bad happens in your life, it's not because you did something bad. Job was a righteous man. God bragged on Job. And Satan, and here's another thing you need to learn. Satan can do things. Satan can do things, but only with the permission and the limits that God places on him. Satan cannot go beyond that. God allows things in our life for who knows why. And maybe we'll know the answer in this side of heaven or maybe on the other side. But God is sovereign. So when he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, in other words, we're surrounded. We're compassed. We're surrounded. Back when kings would fight against other cities. They would surround the city. They would besiege it, it was called. They would compass the city. And when they compassed the city, they would build up like dirt ramps so that they could eventually, and it would take sometimes months, if not years. There, two things. It took a long time to build up walls around a large city. And plus, the people inside, if they couldn't get out, they would starve. In fact, that's what they did to Jerusalem in 70 AD. They did that to Jerusalem to the point they become cannibals. They ate their own children and before they were destroyed. But the fact is, we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, don't consider this, it sometimes is thought of and talked about as spectators. Like we're in an arena and there's spectators all around us. Most of you have been to a football game perhaps, or a soccer game, and you're surrounded by parents yelling and everybody else yelling for this some little piece of leather that's going back and forth, and everybody's going crazy over this piece of leather. And the thing is, it's not that. It's not that. It's think of it as a metaphor. It's similar, but I can tell you right now, people in heaven are not watching us. If they were watching us, they'd be sad. And I believe those who are in heaven are not sad. So we have this cloud of witnesses, people who have gone through what we're going through. Some have gone through to the point of death. Who knows how far it will get for us? We are going to have to stand, folks. I mentioned it earlier, we're losing little by little. The government is trying. I shouldn't say we're losing. The government is trying to take away freedoms, especially the church. Especially the church. Who was the first ones they wanted to close down when COVID in 2020? Churches. Churches. They wanted us to close them down. Yes, we complied for a while and we realized that, yeah, we could come back. And we did. But everybody's fearful to the point they want to say the church is the spreader of all this COVID. No, folks, whatever virus it is, I'm not even convinced there is a COVID, but whatever virus is out there, it might be a strain of flu, a different type of strain of cold. Yes, it's serious. Don't get me wrong. It's serious. But the thing is, the coronavirus comes from the cold family. We have to understand that. And so we go through these struggles. We go through these sicknesses. But we can come out of them. God will deliver us if we believe. And so we're surrounded. We're compassed about with so great a witness. And the King James doesn't do justice in the way this is translated. Let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. What does it mean to lay aside every weight? So if you got a coat on, do you just take it off and lay it aside? That's not what he's talking about. If you do a word study on this, lay aside means to throw it away. Throw it away. If you've ever had a cat, an honorary cat, who hasn't owned an honorary cat? I think they're born that way. And so here you are, a big adult, and you got a cat. And you're playing, hey, kitty, kitty, let's play a little bit, you know. And then all of a sudden that cat, for whatever reason, ornery, boy, he grabs hold of you. And you reach up here and you're trying to grab him. Then he grabs you here. And you're like, oh, no. This little 5-7 pound cat done got the best of me. Because he's got me in a grip. And you're trying not to be a good person and not throw away this cat. You want to put him down gently is what you want to do, but at the same time, you want to get him off of you. You want to get him off. So this ornery cat has got you gripped. And so we don't want to just lay him aside. We want to toss him aside. Get rid of him. And that's what he's talking about here. You don't just lay it aside as if I'm just simply putting down this water. I'm not doing that. Throwing it away, because he says, let us lay aside every weight. Weight. Something that's a burden. Something that's heavy to carry. And it's on us all the time, it seems. And he tells us he wants us to throw off this weight. Get rid of it. Why? And he even says, and the sin. Notice he didn't say sins. He says, the sin which doth so easily beset us. There's another word, beset us. It's not translated real well. The sin which so easily besets us. What's he talking about? When I was a kid, I used to play, a lot of us did, we used to go play and run and go into fields and places we shouldn't go, and we'd run through bushes and briar thickets. I don't know if you've ever ran through a briar thicket, but that's not fun coming out the other side. You ain't going to stay inside. You hurt too much. But you run through these briar thickets, and they make these things. I wish I knew what they were called, but the little round, prickly little burrs. Do you know what I'm talking about? They stick to your clothes. They're all over you. And I'm, you know, you look at yourself and you go, oh my goodness, this is going to take time. It's going to take time. The sin which doth so easily beset us is like those little burrs. They cling to us. They tangle us up. That's another way of translating it. They tangle us up. Another way to translate it is they trip us up. If that creek was dry and you tried to walk down the creek, you know the rocks that are in the creek. A person like me would have a very hard time navigating that creek because of all the rocks and the different levels of everything going on. My goodness, I have trouble because of my foot drop of navigating these stairs. I have to take I call it the on-ramp and off-ramp. Yeah, that's what we use it for. And I have to take that because of my foot drop. And the thing is, Dorana didn't see me this morning. I almost fell off those stairs. I got to the very top, and all of a sudden, I was going backwards. But that sin, just like those burrs, they stick to you. The sin that so easily besets us, it tangles us up. It sticks to you. It clings to you. Like those little burrs. And what you do, you're picking them off, and you can't get them all off because some of them tend to want to stay behind. But you're doing your best to get them off of you, and that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, let us throw off every weight, because what happens when you carry around weight? It slows you down. It hinders your progress. You don't grow. At least not as fast as you should be growing. So the fact is, we have people who have already gone through their faith trial, and now we're entering in that part of it, but yet we let weight slow us down. We let sin cling to us. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, throw that off. Get rid of it. And get the sin. Sometimes for people, it's one sin that they have the most difficulty of getting deliverance. And might I tell you that you, if you have such a situation, fast, pray, get the Holy Spirit in your life, and ask Him to remove this sin, whatever it is, that entangles you, beset us, it entangles you, it clings to you, it trips you up. And then he says, and let us run with patience. Folks, this life we live for Jesus Christ is a journey. It's a journey. I've been on this journey for a number of years. Some people haven't been on it for very long. It takes time. It takes reading God's Word. This is the rule book, in case you don't know. This is the rule book right here. Dig into God's Word. and you will begin to have understanding. Learning of God is the beginning of wisdom. I think it says in Psalms or somewhere, Proverbs maybe. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But let's learn of God. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Hope you are. Maybe not if you've got something carrying a heavy weight and some sin that besets you, clings to you, trips you up. But it says, run with patience. There's another word, patience. Well, it could fit. But what it really means is endurance. It means endurance. So if you're patient while you're running, which is an interesting term, but it means endurance. I remember, I know you can't tell it by looking at me now, I used to run 5 to 5.5 miles at least 3 times a week. Amen, Deronda? I did. Lost a lot of weight, hyperextended my knee. Well, there went my running. But I used to run 5.5 miles. I can remember, and by the way, we did this at work during lunch hour, so it took the whole hour. But I remember the first time I put on my tennis shoes and clothing and went out for my first jog. I didn't even get out of the parking lot. I'm sad to admit that. I couldn't get it out of the, well, when I say out of the parking lot, you had to run around the parking lot. And I got to the bottom of the parking lot and I had to stop. Go no further. Why? Had no endurance. No endurance. So I'd walk a while. And then I'd gradually, over time, yes, you might think it's time to give up. It's not. But over time, with patience, endurance, I got to where I could run a mile without stopping. I was like Rocky. Anybody saw Rocky? Jumping up and down doing this, and I could hear the music playing in my head. And I mean, I was like, yes, I did it. I did it. Because I got 1 mile. Well, it didn't take long to where I got to 2 miles. And I thought I was doing good, but boy, was I tired. By the end of that lunch hour, took me 2 miles, or 1 hour to go 2 miles. We ran as a group. One day, I worked in electronics, and one day my boss, why he picked on me, I have no idea. But we all came outside. There's about 10 of us. We were going to run. I had a 2 mile loop that I was going to do, 2 miles. My boss says, hey, I'm going to run with Earl today. Now, here's a man who could run 5 miles, easy. He's going to run with me. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. And because he said he wanted to take it easy. So he runs with me, and he asked me, where's your route? And I showed him, and we went up and down these hills. And sure enough, and I told him, I said, well, right up here at the stop sign, I turn left. He said, well, how about we turn right? Here, I knew it. Okay. He's turning right. I turn right with him. I'm hanging as close as I can with him because I don't want to be embarrassed any more than I already am. And he's running a little faster than me, which means I'm running a little faster than normal. And we turn right, make another left, and we go down another left. And we're going down a long road. I'm tired. I want to lay down on the road. But I'd get run over like a possum. I saw a meme that says they figured out possums, they like to sleep flat in the middle of the road. You'll get that when you leave here. Possums like to sleep flat in the middle of the road. Well, here he is taking me down this place that I have never been before. And then he rounds another left, and we finally head back to the route that I was accustomed to. Oh, I know where we are now. This is my route. So I help him, and I finish the route. But I was so dog tired, I sit out there, and I couldn't sit down, really. I just bent over, and I mean, I was thought I was going to just let go. Cast it off, right? I was going to cast it off. I was sick. And I asked him, I finally got enough breath to where I could ask him, I said, how far did we go? And I've been going only 2 miles. He said 3.5. I'm like, oh no, no wonder. Well, guess what? After that, I was running 3.5 miles. After that day, I was running 3.5 miles. Yeah, at a little slower pace, I was running 3.5 miles. And with endurance and with patience, I finally got up to 5.5 miles before the hyperextension. But this is a race, folks. And the Lord has set a race before us. If you are a follower of Christ, a Christian, I sometimes don't like to use the word Christian. You know why? A lot of people claim to be Christian, but they don't follow Christ. And that's a shame, because you say, oh yeah, I go to church every day. That don't make you a Christian. No more than sitting in a garage makes me a car. Just because you go and sit in church, you're not a Christian. I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. Hear the gospel. I pray the Spirit will save your soul and will draw you. But folks, we have a race, and we have to have endurance. We have to have patience, because it is set before us, and it may take us a lifetime to finish that race and to finish it well. Because Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be what? Saved. If we don't endure to the very end, we're going to miss it. And I don't want anybody in here to miss it. You may get so, so close. There's going to be a group of people, I don't know who they are, but there's going to be a group of people who are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done all these works in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you. We can't be those people. We can't be those people. We got to be those that are striving. Yes, it's hard. No one ever said it would be easy. Christ even said, take up your what? Cross. That's an execution method. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me. This is the race. Following him. And it's set before us. So let me just summarize again. We have witnesses. We have spectators. People who have already gone through what we're going through today. And so we have no excuse. If they can make it, we can make it. And so we got these witnesses. So lay aside every weight. So we know we carry weight around that slows us down. And the sin, not sins, it could be sins, but it doesn't say sins. And the sin, which usually is that part which clings to you, it's hard to get rid of, like I said, unless you work with God. And God works with you through the Holy Spirit. You can overcome and be delivered from that sin, and which so easily besets us, tangles us up, trips us up, like that cat. And let us run with patience, endurance. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You run with a constant, consistent, faithful speed. Folks, dare I say, if you're not faithful to reading the Word of God, if you're not faithful to coming to hear the Word of God preached, if you're not faithful to pray, if you're not faithful to do all He commands, I honestly don't know how far you'll make it. Think about that. I don't know how far you'll make it. We are coming up on hard, hard times. Amen. And you better get that in your head quickly. Because there is coming a time, sister, there is coming a time when I think there are going to be people who are going to try to block us from coming in to our church. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next year. But it's already happening in Australia. Already happening in Australia. My goodness, you can get arrested in Canada, certain messages you preach. You can get arrested. But let's wrap this up. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2. This is the all-important part, folks, because everything that he just said in verse 1 does us no good unless we keep our eyes focused onto Jesus Christ our Lord. How are you going to keep your eyes focused? Being in His Word. Find out what He says. Hear the preaching about what Jesus does, because He is the author. Sometimes that word is translated pioneer. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. Without Jesus, He's the beginning and the end of our faith. And so if you don't look to Him the whole time you're running, the whole time you're going through this, if you don't look to Him, I don't know how far you're going to make it. And then he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus knew he could look far ahead and he could see a church. He could see a church of people who would give their heart to him and follow him faithfully. And that gave him joy. And the fact that it gave him joy, that he was able to endure the cross, the painful execution of a criminal. And don't it surprise you? I didn't think about this until the other day. I heard it on something. Simon Peter denied the Lord 3 times. But when Jesus was carrying a cross, who did they ask to carry his cross? Simon the Cyrene, or Cyrenian, however you want to pronounce that. So one Simon replaced the other Simon. Simon Peter should have been that one. And when James and John asked to be on what? His left and his right. Who replaced them? They were gone. 2 criminals. One was on his left, one was on his right. They missed their place. They missed their place. And so Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What shame? Folks, did you know crucifixion on a cross, most of the time, they crucified you completely naked? That's shameful. That was done on purpose, by the way. That was done on purpose. Not only was he beaten to the point of near death, that's why he couldn't carry his cross, I believe. He was so weak, he couldn't carry it. And they got somebody, some other Simon to carry it for him. But he despising the shame, oh, and this part right here, and where is he now? He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, praise the Lord. What's he doing there? He's forever making intercession for us. I can't imagine what he's telling the Father about me. Father, I know Earl messed up. I know he messed up, but he's my child. He's my child. I'll take him. And that's all it is. As long as I'm covered by the blood. Are you covered by the blood this morning? Are you truly following him, or are you making just an appearance? Is your heart burning, longing for Jesus Christ and more of him? More. I'm not satisfied, folks. I want more. And Laura, I love the song you sang. It spoke to me. It did. I couldn't resist. I came up here and I repented of my sins. Pastor? You? Yes! Pastor is no more human than anybody else. We're all in the same journey. I come up here to ask God, forgive me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. And he is. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if you're here this morning, please don't hold back. Come up to, you don't have to come to me. You can stay in your own seat. You can come to these, we call them mourner's benches, because in the old days they used to mourn over their sins. You can come there. You can come and stand and pray. You can come up and sit and pray. But the important part that I'll ask you to pray today is to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you do that, Jesus said, you will go down to your house justified, just like the tax collector. Please don't leave this building without knowing that you have already given your heart and soul to Jesus Christ. Father, Abba, Father, I plead for the congregation this morning, and I'm asking you, Lord, as we do our closing hymn, God, that you would touch whomever. If it's somebody who's been saved, but they've gotten cold, maybe distant, draw them, Lord. Please draw them. If it's somebody, Lord, who doesn't know you at all, God, help them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, God, I know the way can be rough and tough sometimes, but God, you are there to help us every step of the way. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you the fact that you died and you rose again, and now you're interceding for us on our behalf. Yes. Father, for everyone who's here, let the Holy Spirit have his way. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.